Well, good morning, wise guys. I don't mean wise guys, but wise guys. We've started this new sermon series on wisdom. If you've been here the last few weeks, and Ken's kind of led us through these last few weeks, and that was one of his things he said last week, that we're not wise guys, but we're wise guys. I really like that. Very clever of him. But Ken's, I don't know if Ken would like this or not, but I feel like Ken's been our hype man, so to speak. Ken has been hyping up wisdom for us. Like, you know, the wrestlers, and they got their hype man that's like getting them pumped. And Ken has just been leading us in this discussion of wisdom. And I have just been so blessed just to hear Ken share stories from his life and things that he's seen and experienced. And I feel like I've just grown in wisdom these last few weeks. And just to hear God's wisdom in Ken and being able to share with us what is wisdom? Why is wisdom so important? And I stand up here and I'm 27 years old and I am terrified at the thought of preaching on wisdom. I'm young. I do not have the life experience that other people have. I do not have the time put in to be considered wise. And so I stand in front of you humbled that I get to talk about wisdom today, because I know that I have a lot to learn and a lot to grow in. And so the one thing I do know, though, the one aspect of wisdom I do have, is that if you want wisdom, it's in this book. It is the words of God. And so I stand up here 27 years old, and I'm going to go with the one piece of wisdom I know, that if we want to grow in wisdom, we have to know this book. We have to learn what it says, that we have to hide God's word in our hearts, that if we want to be wise, it starts right here. And so we're going to go to the most famous book of wisdom. We'll be in it a lot these next few months. But the book of Proverbs, the general book of wisdom that God has given us for his church, for his people. And like I said, Ken spent the last few weeks in just kind of hyping up wisdom, talking about wisdom generally, not specifically. And that's how the book of Proverbs is laid out. And if you're familiar at all with the book of Proverbs, the first 9 chapters of the book are more of this like general thoughts, general like sections, talking about wisdom, talking generally big picture, what is wisdom, why do we need wisdom, these sorts of questions. And then the second half of the book, from chapters 10 through the end of the book, through chapter 31, is more of like the specific wisdom. Like, they're usually like pithy 2-line statements of like, this is how you act in this scenario, or this is what you do when this comes up. And so the first part of the book, general, big picture, what is wisdom? And the second half is like the specific, this is what wisdom does. This is what wisdom looks like. And so before we get to like the specific wisdom, we'll start that next week. I want to spend one more week hyping up wisdom, so to speak. Why is wisdom so important? Why do we need to have wisdom? Because we all know how serious it is. We all know that the choices that we have made have consequences. And we've seen it in our own lives, and we've seen it in other people's lives around us. That the decisions that we make, the choices that we take, will affect things down the line. And the goal of wisdom, the pursuit of wisdom, is to have a good life, is to live a life well, and to recognize and to see the consequences coming, and to see the choices that we make and what happens when we make them in the future, so that we're better prepared for the future. We need wisdom. And all throughout the first 9 chapters of the book, there's this one metaphor that kind of ties it all together. And it's this metaphor of a path, that life is a journey and we're walking along a path. And as we're walking along this path on this walk that we're taking, we come across various things in life. And so today what I want to look at is to just to pick up the metaphor of Proverbs, that we are on the path. We are walking a journey, the journey of life, and there are going to be two women crying out to us on our path. There are going to be two women yelling at the top of their lungs from the highest points. And the big question is, which woman do you listen to? So if you have your Bibles, open up to Proverbs chapter 8. Proverbs chapter 8. It's going to be close to the middle of your Bible. We're going to read through Proverbs 8 and 9 today, so it's going to be fun. Page 995 if you're looking at the church Bible. Proverbs chapter 8, starting in verse 1. Does not wisdom call out? Does not understanding raise her voice? At the highest point along the way, where the paths meet, she takes her stand. Beside the gate leading into the city, at the entrance, she cries aloud. Wisdom calls out. Wisdom cries out. I'm going to go even as far as say wisdom is straight up yelling. This is not a quiet woman. This is a loud woman, but a good loud woman. She is crying out. You can hear her yelling at the highest point where everyone can hear her voice. You can hear when the paths cross at the meeting places of life. You hear her in the public sector. You hear her when you enter the city at the gates, at the most public places of ancient cities. You hear wisdom crying out. She is not hidden. She is not hard to find. You can't miss her if you are looking for her. You have no excuse if you don't find wisdom. Because the overarching theme of the book of Proverbs is set in a scenario of a dad training up his son. A dad is giving wisdom to his son, and that's how this book starts. This is how this chapter starts out. Chapter 8 starts with the dad talking to his son. Does not wisdom cry out? Have you not heard, my young son? Have you not heard wisdom out in the public sphere? I'm really struggling with that word today. But this is how the book of Proverbs is structured. That it's structured of a dad giving advice to his young son, because that's what the book of Proverbs was originally meant for. It was meant for young people. It was meant first and foremost for young men coming up into leadership positions in cities, that they wanted the next generations of leaders in their cities to be wise leaders, and so they had to train them up. But it's for all young people, because young people don't have wisdom. Young people need to be poured into and raised up in wisdom so that they can make wise and good decisions for future generations. And that's what the book of Proverbs is about. And it's not gender specific, because although it's normally a father talking to a son, sometimes the mother comes in and shares, and it's not just for the sons, but it's for sons and daughters, that everyone needs wisdom. And so the question starts out, are we even listening for wisdom when she cries out? Do we listen to the advice this dad is giving to his son? Are we looking for wisdom? When we reach the crossroads of life, are we listening for wisdom? When we enter into new areas of life, entering into the city, are we listening for wisdom? Or are we going about our day unconcerned with the woman yelling at us as we go along this path of life? And I'm going to speak this whole day in this figurative language, because that's how this chapter and the next chapter are written. That obviously wisdom is not literally a woman, but this is the metaphor of a woman crying out to us as we walk along a path. Are we willing to listen to wisdom? And so will you look for wisdom as you walk your life? As you go into new seasons in your life, are you searching for wisdom so that you can make wise decisions? As you come up to different crossroads or different forks in the road, are you seeking wisdom so that you know the correct path to take? Are we people heeding the call of Proverbs to look and find wisdom? Because if we do, if we are looking for wisdom, we will find it. Because suddenly the scene is going to change. Someone overhears this conversation between the dad and the son, and someone else has got to speak up. Verse 4. To you, O people, I call out. I raise my voice to all mankind. You who are simple, gain prudence. You who are foolish, set your hearts on it. Listen, for I have trustworthy things to say. I open my lips to speak what is right. My mouth speaks what is true, for my lips detest wickedness. All the words of my mouth are just. None of them is crooked or perverse. To this discerning, all of them are right. They are upright to those who have found knowledge. Choose my instruction instead of silver, knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Wisdom comes in and starts speaking herself. That wisdom overhears the conversation, so to speak, in between this dad and this young man. And wisdom comes and she starts speaking. It changes from third person to first person. Wisdom says, I cry out. I have come to bring knowledge, to bring understanding. You need to listen to me. And so then wisdom just opens up and starts telling us about her. Let me paint a picture of how I am. This is what wisdom says. She knows how much she is needed. She knows how vital and necessary she is so that people live a good life. And we are called to listen to her, to take her message to heart. And that's how wisdom starts, right? She is trustworthy. She speaks what is true. She hates wickedness. All the words of her mouth are just. Wisdom is good. We are the simple-minded, the passage says. We are the foolish ones, and we need to listen to wisdom when she speaks. And then she makes it clear, makes it abundantly clear, that wisdom is the most important thing we could ever find. And I love verses 10 and 11. Choose my instruction instead of silver, knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare to her. We need wisdom more than rubies. We need knowledge more than gold. And it's a nice analogy, but think about it for a second. Like, think about how nice it would be to have a bunch of rubies. I mean, you retire. I mean, I don't know anything about the gem world, but I would imagine that one gem would set you up pretty nice for life, not to mention a bunch of gems, or to have a giant chunk of gold, right? Like, sell that and enjoy yourself. But wisdom cries out and says, I am better than the most precious metals, the most expensive things on earth. That I, wisdom, am more important. And it's a trade-off. And it says, if you could have a choice of either wisdom or all the wealth in the world, take wisdom. That's incredible. And I was thinking about it, and it seems really drastic. You would take wisdom over all the wealth of the world? And the answer is yes. Because we make trade-offs all the time. We're given trade-offs in life all the time. And one I was thinking about in my own life, and I love to sleep. I love sleeping. I'm the kind of guy that if I've got nothing going on, like, I'm staying in bed till mid-afternoon. And people are always like, Benji, don't you feel like you're wasting your day? And I'm like, no, I'm doing like one of my favorite things in life. Well, that's not a waste of my day. But the thing is, if it's midnight and Kenny says, hey, Benji, let's talk. Or if it's 1 a.m., and these are all true stories, and Kenny says, hey, Benji, let me beat you in ping pong again. Like, I'm going to do that with Kenny. Because in my mind, I take a trade-off. Sleep, which I love. Kenny, which I love more. My friendship with Kenny. And I'll take hang out with Kenny over sleep. I don't need a full night's rest. I'd rather hang out with Kenny. Or maybe a choice that's maybe costs a little more than just a few hours of sleep. But thinking about kids, and that parents, people that don't have kids, they're in control of their life. They can basically do what they want. I mean, there's obviously responsibilities in life, but they control their own schedule. They can go wherever they want. They can do whatever they want. They're not bound by a kid. But as soon as parents have a child, their schedule totally changes. They no longer can do what they want. They have to provide for this child. They have to take care of a child. They have to raise up a child. You are no longer in control of your schedule. And yet, it's a trade-off that you would gladly make. A trade-off that you'd make 10 times out of 10 because kids are more important. Raising up kids are more important than being able to have full control of your schedule. That there is actually more joy found in sacrificing yourself to raise your kids than to be able to do what you want all the time. And that we make trade-offs all the time in life because we sacrifice the good thing for the better thing. And wisdom knows what is best. And wealth, of course, wealth is a good thing. It is nice to have wealth. But wisdom says it's even better to have wisdom. And this is, again, this is analogy, a metaphor. Unless your name is Solomon, you're not literally choosing between wealth and wisdom. But the heart's cry, the heart's desire is to say, I want wisdom more than anything else. I am searching out for wisdom. I want to find wisdom at whatever cost it takes. Because wisdom is that important to me having a good, God-honoring life. Are you willing to make that trade-off? Are you willing to search after wisdom no matter what the cost? Because if you seek wisdom, you usually get a lot more included. And let's keep reading. Wisdom keeps speaking to us. Verse 12, I, wisdom, dwell together with prudence. I possess knowledge and discretion. To fear the Lord is to hate evil. I hate pride and arrogance, evil behavior and perverse speech. Counsel and sound judgment are mine. I have insight. I have power. By me kings reign, and rulers issue decrees that are just. By me princes govern, and nobles, all who rule on the earth. I love those who love me, and those who seek me find me. With me are riches and honor, enduring wealth and prosperity. My fruit is better than fine gold. What I yield surpasses choice silver. I walk in the way of righteousness, along the paths of justice, bestowing a rich inheritance on those who love me and making their treasuries full. And wisdom just gets autobiographical on us. Wisdom's like, let me tell you about myself. Get to know me for a minute. And wisdom just starts hitting us with all of these things about wisdom that we need to know. And what's the very first thing that wisdom wants to tell us? Well, she wants to tell us that wisdom has some best friends. She dwells with prudence. She possesses knowledge and discretion. And I want to define prudence real quick, because it's probably an uncommon word. But prudence is one's ability to use reason in context and under the fear of God to navigate the problems of life. It carefully considers a situation before rushing in. It implies cool-headedness. Prudent decisions are ones that are thought out, not letting emotion rule the day. Wisdom has three best friends. Prudence, knowledge, discretion. That to hang out with wisdom is really to hang out with more than just wisdom. You hang out with wisdom and she brings her friends along of prudence and knowledge and discretion. It's like a 4-for-1 deal, right? You hang out with wisdom's got a lot of bang for her buck. You hang out with her and you get a whole lot more. But that wisdom is not just wisdom alone, but wisdom brings with her all the good things in life. It's that good. And then wisdom continues. And she says the number one wise statement that wisdom has ever said in verse 13. To fear the Lord is to hate evil. What is the number one wise statement in life? It's to fear the Lord. The foundation of all wisdom is to fear the Lord. And Ken hit this in week one. That the first step, square one of wisdom, in the quest of wisdom is to fear the Lord. Step one in the quest for a meaningful life is to fear the Lord. Only a fool would not be afraid of a being who holds the power of life and death. That the fear of the Lord is to stand in a subservient position between us and God and to acknowledge our dependence on Him. That wisdom, and as we go through the book of Proverbs, we're going to see wisdom is based on a lot of observation and experience and human reason. These are good things, but the foundation of wisdom, square one, the base of all wisdom, is the fear of the Lord. It's a theological move. And of course, wisdom involves a lot of, maybe you could just say normal things in life like experience or reasoning, but the foundation, the base, is the fear, the correct ordering of life that God is God and we are not. And then wisdom hits us with this laundry list of things. That wisdom hates pride and arrogance. We're going to spend a whole week on that later this next month. Evil behavior, perverse speech, counsel belongs to wisdom. By wisdom, kings reign. That ruler, that leadership is done well when it's done in wisdom. That wisdom loves those who love her. That with wisdom comes riches and honor, enduring wealth and prosperity. That wisdom ultimately brings about the good things in life. And I want to caution us, because the book of Proverbs is not a book of promises. It's a book of general principles. And that wisdom says this is how life usually goes. And so I want to caution us and say, we read right here, with wisdom are riches and honor, wealth and prosperity. And I want to say that's normally the way life goes. But you can be wise and never find wealth. You can be wise and never find prosperity. But again, this is it's not a promise. It's just a principle that usually those who are wise find good things. And I think if you just look around life and see people, it's usually the ones that make wise and prudent business decisions that do well in business. It's usually like we have a phrase, right? To be wise with your money. People that are wise with their money are ones that usually have money. That this is the normal pattern of life. But it is a result of hanging out with wisdom. That usually when we follow wisdom and seek after wisdom, life usually goes well. It goes better for us than if we were to go a different direction, because wisdom is a good thing. It is the best thing. And she's even more important than we realize, because she's been here from the beginning. So let's keep reading verse 22. The Lord brought me forth as the first of his works, before his deeds of old. I was formed long ago at the very beginning when the world came to be. When there were no watery depths, I was given birth. When there were no springs overflowing with water, before the mountains were settled in place, before the hills, I was given birth. Before he made the world or its fields or any of the dust of the earth, I was there when he set the heavens in place, when he marked out the horizon on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above and fixed securely the fountains of the deep, when he gave the sea its boundary so the water would not overstep his command, and when he marked out the foundations of the earth. Then I was constantly at his side. I was filled with delight day after day, rejoicing always in his presence, rejoicing in his whole world, and delighting in mankind. And that wisdom continues this autobiographical tale. Let me tell you about myself. And wisdom says, I was there from the beginning. God's first creative act, the first thing that God made was me, wisdom. I have been there from the beginning. Before God made anything else, before God decided to bring anything else into existence, God said, I need to make wisdom first. Wisdom is supreme. Wisdom gets first fruits priority. And then wisdom goes through creation, basically. Before there was water, there was wisdom. Before there were mountains, there was wisdom. Before there was the earth itself, before the bowl that we walk on was created, there was wisdom. Wisdom was hanging out. She was an eyewitness. She watched the heavens being made. She got to see clouds being formed and the waters of the deep being formed. That wisdom was there from the beginning. And then verse 30 says, in our New NIV, it says, then I was constantly at his side. And if you look at your footnote at the bottom, it says, or was the artisan. Wisdom was the artisan at God's side. And verse 30 is a really tough verse to translate. Translators for thousands of years have struggled with this verse. Some translations will focus that wisdom actually created with the Lord, and some will take how the New NIV takes it, that wisdom was there with the Lord. And you can talk to me later if you're really interested in the history of interpretation of this verse. It's a really tough verse to translate. But wisdom, I think wisdom was actually helping create with the Lord. That wisdom helped shape the world. That God, alongside with wisdom, is, I don't know, general contractor, so to speak, right? That they began to create the world together. Who better? Who better to listen to on how to walk in this world than the one who actually helped make this world? That wisdom reigns supreme because wisdom was first. It was there first. It was before everything else. It holds a preeminent position, and it even helped create. And again, I just want to stress, this is an analogy, a metaphor. It's not a literal account of creation. Wisdom is personifying herself and saying, I am supreme, and I was even there at the beginning, helping create. I know how the world works. And what's even more crazy is the New Testament picks up this section of scripture from Proverbs 8, that all throughout the New Testament authors will actually look back at this passage and say, ultimately, this wisdom, this lady that's helping God in creation, it ultimately is Jesus. And that all throughout the New Testament, there are allusions to this passage. I wrote them down. 1 Corinthians 1 says that Jesus is the wisdom of God. Matthew 11 says that Jesus is wisdom and she'll be proved right by her actions, talking about Jesus. Colossians 1, Paul will take this language of Proverbs 8 and incorporate it into his book of Colossians, and even saying that Jesus is the firstborn of all creation, just like wisdom in Proverbs 8 is the firstborn of all creation. That the New Testament looking, or the New Testament authors looking back on this section in Proverbs 8 says, that's Jesus. This wisdom personified that the author of Proverbs keeps talking about, that ultimately is Jesus, that Jesus stands in the place of wisdom, that if you want to find wisdom, you ultimately look at Jesus. That Jesus is wisdom in the flesh. And again, it's a metaphor, don't take it too far. Jesus is not a woman. Jesus was not born. God did not create Jesus. Just let the metaphor function as a metaphor. But ultimately, Jesus is wisdom and has been there from the beginning. And then the final call, verse 32. Now then, my children, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Listen to my instruction and be wise. Do not disregard it. Blessed are those who listen to me, watching daily at my doors, waiting at my doorway. For those who find me find life and receive favor from the Lord. But those who fail to find me harm themselves. All who hate me love death. Wisdom wraps up her talk, her autobiographical tale, as she's speaking about herself. And she leaves us with the warning, with the encouragement. Listen to me and you will find life. Follow after me. Listen to my voice, the voice of wisdom, and I will lead you into life. If you ignore my voice, if you're walking along the path of life and you don't listen to my advice, that path that you just set your course on leads to death. Wisdom finishes her talk with painting a picture of two paths, of two ways to go, the way of wisdom into life or ignoring wisdom and walking into death. And so here we have it, chapter 8, wisdom personified. She tells her autobiographical tale of who she is. And then finally we get to chapter 9. 9 is the culmination of the first section of Proverbs. Like I said before, the first 9 chapters are extended thoughts about wisdom generally, and then chapters 10 onward is like specific wisdom on how to live in different areas of life. But chapter 9 is the end of the long sections. And in this section, the author of Proverbs wraps up his whole entire thesis with this final chapter. And he says that there are two women. And I titled this sermon, with the help of Ken and Nay, A Tale of Two Women. That there are two women crying out, and they are shown up in chapter 9. And so the first woman cries out, 9:1. Wisdom has built her house. She has set up its 7 pillars. She has prepared her meat and mixed her wine. She has set out her table. She has sent out her servants, and she calls from the highest point in the city. Let all who are simple come to my house. To those who have no sense, she says, come, eat my food and drink the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and you will live. Walk in the way of insight. And the first woman is wisdom. Woman wisdom. We are really familiar with her. We've been talking about her all morning. She just spoke for a whole chapter in chapter 8. And so she builds her home at the highest point of the city. And she has prepared a meal for guests. She invites everyone into her home to share and eat an intimate meal with her. She invites us to live. This is the invitation of wisdom. But there's another voice. There's another lady. Verse 13. Folly. Folly is an unruly woman. She is simple and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house, on a seat at the highest point of the city, calling out to those who pass by, who go straight on their way. Let all who are simple come to my house. To those who have no sense, she says, stolen water is sweet. Food eaten in secret is delicious. But little do they know that the dead are there, that her guests are deep in the realm of the dead. And folly, woman folly, also sits in her home on the highest place of the city. And she calls out to everyone who passes by, come, eat at my house. Share an intimate meal with me. She invites us in, just like woman wisdom. But she is an invitation to death. And the question I propose to us today is, which lady are you going to dine with? Which home are you going to enter? Who are you going to listen to? And I think the key in this section is actually this idea of the homes being built on the highest point of the city. That in the ancient world, in every town, every city that you went in the ancient world, from Babylon to Egypt to Jerusalem, the highest point in all of those cities is where you put the temple. The temple, the place where you worship your God, goes on the highest point of the city. If you've been to Jerusalem, that's where the Temple Mount is. If you've been to Babylon, well, I guess it's destroyed now, but that's where the temple to Baal was, right? It's just, this is where you put the temple. And that wisdom and folly ultimately are the gods of this age. that wisdom personified is really Yahweh. It is the Lord. That to find wisdom is to go to the highest point, and that is where God is. And that if you follow other gods, if you follow any false god that is not the Lord Jesus Christ, that is folly. Because there are only two options. You are either walking in wisdom, or you're walking in folly. And ultimately what that means, if you want to find wisdom, then you follow after the Lord. That to follow God is wisdom. Wisdom is just a personification of God in these sections. That to be foolish ultimately is to serve and follow any other thing in this life that is not God. That the question proposed to us, the question proposed right before moving into the big wisdom section in Proverbs is, who will you follow? Will you follow the Lord God, or will you follow your own path? Which woman will you dine with? As you're walking along the path of life, which woman will you listen to? And my prayer and my hope for my life and for all of our lives is that we would listen to woman wisdom, that we would seek God, because it is in God alone where we truly find what wise and good living is all about. Let's pray. Jesus, you are wisdom. Father God, you are wisdom. Holy Spirit, you are wisdom. And we cry out that we need you. We want to be wise people. We want to make good decisions. We want to live good lives that honor you. And I pray in the heart, in the cry of my heart, is that we would listen to wisdom, that we would seek your face, that we would be concerned with the things you are concerned about. And so, Lord, I pray that you would grow and mature all of us to be more wise, to listen to wisdom, to not get so caught up in our own way that we're unwilling to hear your voice. Holy Spirit, move our hearts to be wise people. We want to honor you in the way that we live. And Jesus, we thank you so much for who you are, because without you, we are lost. You truly are wisdom, the wisdom of God who has come into this earth. And we love you. And it's in your great and awesome name we pray. Amen.